Now, before I came to the class here, I thought what I should say in this morning class. There are many things which could be said. One is that the gist of Baba's Murli is in this season could be given. First of all, I thought that I should do that. But then it occurred to me that there is so much material which Baba has given us, so many points of knowledge. Baba has also dwelt at length on values. He has said so many things about soul consciousness and meditation, and also the service, what service we should do and how we should do. Now, in the realm of science, they are now trying to connect various forms of energy and trying to formulate what they say, the unified field theory. Magnetism, gravity, light, sound, heat, they are all various forms of energy. But is there some kind of connection between various kinds of energy? And can there be a formula, a mathematical formula, or a theoretical explanation which could connect all these and give us a unified view of all these things? So I thought, is it possible that we can give a unified view of the spiritual knowledge which Baba is giving us? Very often Baba says that we should be soul conscious, and he says there are various ways of Maya entering into our mind and giving its negativities to our thoughts, to our intellect and so on. We have also been trying to know the cycle of time and how there has been the downfall of various civilizations and of this one which is the most original, the Devi Devta or deity civilization. Many other things have been said. Could they be connected together, put together, like the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, so that they could present a complete picture? Also, when we just are told about Maya and how it attacks us, it influences us, it changes our various states of being, how we can explain the dynamics of Maya, how it influences us? So if we can connect all this and have a rational view or explanation of all these put together, because these are the days when people are trying to have a holistic view and the integrated knowledge, not piecemeal. Knowledge has already been divided into various compartments, pigeonholes. So let us have a holistic view of this spiritual knowledge or system which Baba is giving us. So what does he want to say? How to explain it? How to understand it? So I have tried in a hurry to put together the various pieces and see if there is some meaning which we can find out of it. More you can work on it and develop it on your own. So I found that since we are not perfect as Baba is, that is the basic difficulty with us. Even when we practice meditation, attain godly knowledge and do all other things which Baba asks us to do, yet we do not attain that kind of perfection, eternal perfection, constant perfection, everlasting perfection, which Baba has, which in itself implies that a little bit of weakness remains. If there would be absolutely no weakness left, and we would be as almighty as God himself is, then Maya would never enter again. But since it enters, and this is very evident, this is the most fundamental truth of life, that we all are weak, there is weakness. This is no denying the fact. As why should we have been reduced to the present plight, present state, ourselves suffering from various problems, shows that there have been some inadequacies, something incomplete in us. And therefore we have been coming down and down. Today in Baba's Murli, Baba said this picture of ladder, staircase of 84 ladders explains it. So that picture also shows that we have been coming down and down as the time has been passing. And now we have to go up. And when we go up, again we will start coming down and down. This is the picture of ladder explains. So let us start from here. As I said that we are not as perfect. Each one of us has individual stage of perfection. It is a relative stage. But the absolute perfection is in God only, the Supreme Soul. He was perfect, is perfect, will be perfect. Absolutely, in all respects, at all points of time. Now, compared to Him, the stage of our perfection is only relative. It differs from individual to individual, person to person. Therefore, Baba says, we are all number wise. All are not the same. People nowadays, in certain places, certain countries, talk of equality. But actually, if it means equality of opportunities, equality of chances, then it is something different. But otherwise, all are not equal, cannot be equal, were never equal, would never be equal. You see, the differences would always remain. And this variety is the salt of life. This actually is the beauty of life. Variety will remain, otherwise there will be monotony. So, the basic feature of our life, of our consciousness, of our personality, of our being is that we are not 100% or fully complete, perfect in all respects. Then what is it that is the imperfect in us? You know, every cause gives rise to an effect. So if there is an incompleteness, imperfection, something lacking in us, that gives rise to some kind of a desire, a want. When you don't have something, you want something. So our incompleteness, our imperfection raises some kinds of desires for those things which are missing, which are lacking, which we do not have. God is perfect, therefore He has absolutely no desire. He is free from all desires. But we do have desires. The intensity of desires may vary from person to person and time to time. But you may call it want, necessity, desire. You may give various names to it. Because of certain things lacking, we do have some kind of wants or necessities or desires. Now it is from this that all the other things start. Whether Maya comes or God comes, whether you practice yoga or you don't practice yoga, all the problems can be explained only if you just take this fundamental point that you do have some wants and desires because you are imperfect. Now let us first of all see what are those desires or wants fundamentally. There are many, but you can classify them. You can form their broad categories. For example, one is the desire for power. People want power, political power, physical power, various kinds of power. But let us say briefly, there is a desire for power. This is one of the things because of weakness, as I said. Where there is weakness, there is the demand or the desire for power. Then also for money. Why we want money? Because money has purchasing power. Then again it is power. Money is also power. It is a different kind of power. So we want money because it has purchasing power. Powers are of different kinds as I said, but let us separate money from them, it is a particular kind of power which enables you to have consumer goods and certain comforts of life, certain necessities of life, certain requirements. So this also you want, maybe for your body, for your sustenance, maintenance or whatever. Then another is position. Everyone wants to have some kind of a position. Because we live in a society, we compare ourselves with others, and therefore we want a relatively good position as compared to others. Position and prestige, this is another thing. And since the soul is in the body and we use senses, and senses are used for the upkeep of the body, for the maintenance and sustenance of the body, we use some consumer goods, then they give us pleasurable experience, and therefore we begin to have sensuous pleasures. This is another kind of a desire. Sensual pleasures or sensuous pleasures. You have ears and therefore you want to listen to sweet words, melodious songs, good music, and we have eyes and therefore we want have good sights, good scenes. We have the sense of touch, therefore we want soft cushions to lie upon, to sit upon, comfortable beds, so on so forth. So each sense requires a number of things. This goes on multiplying. And with the scientific inventions and the technological applications of those scientific inventions, the numbers of sensual pleasures and the goods which cater to it has been increasing. So we want all these things. So actually it starts from what we want or what we desire, and gradually we become addicted, we become dependent, we become attached to these. These are various stages or various forms. In some cases it may be attachment, in other cases you may say, I am fond of this, I like this, you know. And someone offers you something, you say, yes, I like it. Now first of all you like it, then you are fond of it, then you depend upon it, you cannot be without it, you are having attachment for it. So this kind of thing develops. Now this later on takes the form of Maya. Now how Maya comes? First of all, we require certain things because they are our daily necessities. Then we like them, we become fond of them, we become fascinated with them, then we develop intimacy with them, attachment towards them, and then we cannot live without them. And the result is that it takes the form of Maya. How it takes the form of Maya? When you have these things, when you require these things, then another byproduct of all this is that we become selfish. I want power, another person also wants power. I want money, another person also wants money. I want position, another person also wants position. I want goods which can give me pleasurable experience. The other person also wants such kinds of consumer goods which give him comfort, luxuries. And so I want it for myself, the other person wants it for himself or herself. Then develop this selfishness. This selfishness then takes the form of jealousy, hatred, anger, because anyone who stands in the way of fulfillment of my desires, I begin to hate him. I become angry with him. I have little bit of these things, another person has more, I become jealous of him. So then these various forms of Maya come. But in one word I said Maya enters. All forms of Maya actually, may it be sex lust, may be greed, Because when we begin to have some kind of a pleasure, some kind of a fulfillment, then we have greed for them. The more the happier, the more the better we think. If we want money, then we are not satisfied and there is no end to our desire. We want more of it because another person has more than we have. So more of money, and therefore develops the greed. And we have all these things, we have power, we have money, we have position, then we become proud of it. Then comes the pride. It is another byproduct, another result of all these things. This is how various forms of Maya enter. Gradually, over a period of time, as we come in this body, as we interact with other people, as we begin to do action on this earth, the field of action, through our sense organs, then this is what it develops. And from that develops anger, pride, greed, sex lust, jealousy, hatred, all these things. These are various forms of Maya. And therefore, a part of the knowledge which we have been getting is, Baba says, don't run after name and fame. Why? Because Maya enters through your desires for position and power. If you run after name and fame or position and power, then however best you may try, you cannot have a final victory over Maya. Because these are the root ways through which Maya enters. So, Baba says, don't open the gates to Maya. You say, Baba, I want to get rid of Maya, but I don't know why somehow it so happens that Maya comes like an unwanted guest. In one of the Murlis in this season, Baba said, it comes. But Baba said, but why do you open the gate? You should close the gate. But Baba, it comes. How should we send it off? It does not like to go. So Baba said, make a gift of all your negativities, make a good packing, and give it to Maya and say goodbye. Now we have the diamond jubilee here. So go away from here, don't come again. So beware, don't open the door again. But again we want power and position, and we want Maya to go. Both are opposite things, they cannot happen, cannot be together. So when I explain this thing to you, if you want, the first thing is the desire. They say, if wishes were horses, only fools would ride them. If we have any wisdom because of this knowledge, and still we are riding such kind of horses, which are wishes, which are without any bridle, without any reins, then we cannot call ourselves as wise persons, but only foolish. In the history of India, there has been a king during the Muslim period of history, and he was called the wisest fool. Wisest fool. He knew economics, politics, mathematics, linguistics, so on and so forth. He was a great scholar, very learned person. If he would sit among the scholars, people would certainly be influenced by his knowledge, the vastness of his knowledge. But he did certain acts whereby he was defamed. He began to have ill repute because of his foolish actions. For example, he started currency made of skin, leather. Now many people advised him, how can you just start the leather currency? People will make it in their homes. Cheap leather they would use, and if you just make a 100 rupee note of leather, which costs only 2 rupees. So people can make such kind of thing, counterfeit note, and they can go to the treasury, give this and try to have that silver coins. But he said, look here, you don't know, in economics, any currency which is issued by the government is honored. Its price is not judged at its face value. For example, we have the paper currency. If you have a $100 note, it does not necessarily be of that amount. The paper, it may actually cost $1 to the government to print it and make it. But it is $100. And in India, a 100 rupees note or 500 rupees note, there is a statement by the governor of the Reserve Bank of India, I promise to pay the bearer rupees 100, you see. And there is a signature of the governor of Reserve Bank. So anybody can go to the bank, give that note and get 500 rupees. So on that basis of economics, he said, the law of economics says that any currency, whatever its value, you see, if the government has issued it, then its value is honored, you see. So he started this and he went into losses. He became bankrupt because people made it in their houses, went to the treasury, they got in terms of gold and silver and gave the leather, you know. So his treasury was full of leather and gold and silver was out. So he was called the wisest fool. Wise because he knew economics, but fool because he did blunders, you know. Similarly, we, after attaining knowledge, if we commit such blunders, you see, even in godly service, we want a particular status, we want a particular honor, privilege, want name and fame, people to praise us, adore us for the acts which we do. If such is the case, still we have these kinds of desires, then Maya will enter. We will become addicts to praise. As some people are drug addicts, addiction to alcohol, addiction to other intoxicating drugs, narcotics. Similarly, we will become addicts to praise. On a particular day when nobody praises us, we will be depressed. Or we will say the life is not worth living. Because the reason is that nobody praised us today. So, this happens. And the more a person praises you, the more you love him. And another person who is being a little bit of critic of what you have been doing, makes some comments on some wrong actions which you do, you will begin to hate him. So either way, Maya will enter. If you hate him, hatredness is Maya. And if you love him, begin to be attached to him, begin to be fond of this person, you have intimacy, attachment to this person, again Maya, either way, you see. No escape from it. So these are the routes, if you don't close them, if you don't close the gates through which Maya enters and have your fortress protected from all the sides, the intruder Maya will come. And therefore Baba tells you that you should not have a fondness or attraction for the worldly things, the things of the earth, which means the sensual pleasures. You should not look upon a person how much money he has so that how much benefit he can give you in terms of money. Don't weigh him in terms of money, you see. You should not have these kinds of ideas or outlook or attitude towards persons and things in this world. Otherwise, Maya will enter. And this is actually the way Maya entered. These are the dynamics of Maya. If we know this, then we should not be the wisest fool. We should not commit this blunder again and again. And why Baba says you have to attain three certificates? One is the certificate of, you should give yourself the certificate. Actually, it never happens in no other university. Does a person or a scholar, a student, give certificate to himself? But here you are allowed to give, what a novel thing, a good idea or a bad idea or what it is, the best idea. Baba says, you should be satisfied with yourself. Why? What does it mean? If you are not satisfied, it means your some of your desires are not satisfied. Otherwise, what does satisfaction mean? Some of your wishes, some of your hopes and aspirations, some of your demands are not satisfied, not met. Therefore, you are not satisfied. When someone is depressed, why that person is depressed? Not happy with himself, not happy with others, not happy with the environment. with the life as it is. The life has become a burden. Why? That person is not satisfied because certain desires remain to be fulfilled. And these are some of the desires. So therefore, we are not happy, whereas Baba says our lips, our face, our actions, our vibrations should reflect happiness all the time. We should be the happiest lot on the earth. And you should think that by attaining Baba, you have attained all things. You see. What are those all things? These. How? How should we think that we have attained all these things by attaining Baba? Is it just a make-believe or a reality? Just by being with Baba or having known Baba, by Baba being in our company, our hand in Baba's hand, how can we say that we have attained everything whereas our pocket is empty? How can we say? Realistically speaking, how can we say that we have attained everything? Can any one of you explain? Baba mil gaya to sab kuch mil gaya. You see, that is how generally it is told in Murli. Vaha Baba vaha. Vaha drama vaha. You see. Which are the signs of satisfaction? And also, vaha re main vaha. I also am wonderful. Drama is wonderful. Baba is wonderful. And not only these two are wonderful, I am also wonderful. How? How is it that by attaining Baba I have attained all these things? Honor, position, prestige, players, happiness, everything. Is it a fact? Full internal satisfaction. But how does the internal satisfaction come? Is it the real satisfaction or false satisfaction? Some people have false satisfaction. How is it real? Mother? So mother has found that child. The child is happy or the mother is happy or both are happy. Mother is more happy. You are not a mother, you don't know. How you know? Perhaps you were last and your mother was perhaps more happy than you were. Okay. Sometimes mother is more happy, sometimes the child is more happy. If the child is a naughty child, you see, a problem child, then perhaps the mother is not as happy as the child. So it depends. Okay. So, one of the certificates which Baba said we have to have is satisfaction with ourselves. Now, how can we have satisfaction with ourselves? Which means we have no demands, no desires. We are full. We feel that whatever we wanted to attain, we have. We are not running after, thirsting after position and power and name and fame and money and all these sensual pleasures. Then only we can have satisfaction. So when in one word Baba says you should have satisfaction, it means you should not have desires in these various forms. And how is it possible? That would be explained later. And then Baba says others should be satisfied with you. What does it imply? That others should also be satisfied with me. How can they be satisfied with me? Because if my behavior toward them is good, if I love them, cooperate with them, speak sweetly with them, and have all those values which we have been mentioning during the past year or so, that we should have all these values, then only others will be satisfied with me. If I have humility, if I have tolerance and good relations with others, then they would be satisfied with me. But how can I be free of jealousy? How can I cooperate with others? It is possible only when I am free from these kinds of desires. Otherwise, I have a selfish motive. They also have a selfish motive. There will be clashes and conflict. Neither they will be satisfied nor I will be satisfied. They can be satisfied if in the first instance I am satisfied. I am not asking them to give me anything, not demanding anything from them. Then only I can give cooperation. Then only the conflict will cease. Nowadays people generally talk of conflict resolution, how conflicts can be resolved. So many kinds of conflicts. International, national, conflict in the family, and first of all, conflict in the mind, you know. To be or not to be, to do this or not to do. There is a lot of conflict, a war going on always in the field of mind. We can be free from this if we do not have this. I want nothing. I want nothing. I have Baba with me. I am satisfied. Whatever is in the drama will happen. The other day also in the Murli, Baba was saying, you see, these three stops, three points, and drama and Baba being two of them. If I just remember these, then only I can be satisfied. There can be equanimity of mind, calmness and quietude of mind, peace of mind. No conflict, no clash in the mind, between to have it or not to have it. And you will find that the main root for all kinds of conflict is selfishness. People therefore are now laying their finger on understanding. If we have mutual understanding, the conflicts can be resolved. What do you mean by understanding? Or they say, if we can accommodate each other's view, if we don't become narrow-minded, this is another way of resolving a conflict. Sit around a table, discuss things, try to understand each other and try also to accommodate each other. What do you mean by accommodating each other? At least being less selfish. If you have to be selfish, then reduce at least the quantum of your selfishness. Be less selfish. Then only you can accommodate others. And as I said, we become selfish when we have these desires. Each one of us has desires. Whereas, the very first thing we come to know of in this knowledge is, God's name is Shiva. You know, I am trying to integrate all knowledge. What is the need of giving this name? Give any name. I say God's name is Rose, R-O-S-E. How does it matter? Shakespeare said, what is in a name? So what is in a name in this case? Rose is a beautiful, good flower, good smell, good color, good shape. Everyone loves the rose. I love the rose. I say God's name is Rose. But you say God's name is Shiva. Why? Shiva means one who does good to all, who is the world benefactor. And only he could do good to all, only he could be the world benefactor who is not selfish, who does not want anything for himself. All is for others. You know, they say, what is the difference between golden age, silver age, copper age and iron age? The basic difference. Someone said in golden age and silver age, everyone says, yours is yours, mine is also yours. That is the spirit. Yours is yours, mine is also yours. And in copper age they say, yours is yours, mine is mine. Don't touch mine. I will not touch yours. This is justice, this is honesty. So values, value, honesty and justice. And in the golden age, the other kind of value, giving, giving. They are devtas, give it to others. The spirit of sharing with others. That is the foremost value. Out of love, give it to all, you see. So in the golden and silver age, they say, yours is yours, mine is also yours. And in copper age, they say, yours is yours, mine is mine. And in iron age, they say, mine is mine, yours is also mine. So this is Kali Yuga. Everyone is competing, you know, to snatch something from others. Profiteering, commercialization, you know. Forming multinational companies, trying to do business, purchasing the raw material at very cheaper rates from the countries which are undeveloped, making them in the form of marketable goods, and then selling them at very high rates, having their trade marks on them, and the protectionist laws and so on, and trying to exploit. Why Karl Marx said exploitation should be terminated, and exploitators, the bourgeois class, they should be finished. Extermination of the exterminators, as he said, those who are exploiting, because of this. And why because of this? Because selfish. What do you mean by selfish? Karl Marx's explanation of the human being was that everyone is selfish. This is his basis of his theory, The Capital, the book which he wrote, His economic theory, namely communism. Every human being is selfish. Now, is every human being selfish? In today's world, in Iron Age, he was perhaps correct. You see, mine is mine, yours is also mine. It is selfish. This is selfishness in economic terms. So, this is the root of all the problems. But God's name is Shiva. Do good to all. Be good and do good. Have this motto in life, be good and do good. This is Kalyankari. Do good to others, be good to others. If you have these two things in your life, you are good to others and you are good in yourself. So that your conscience tells you, you are a good man. Your conscience does not hold you guilty. Otherwise, you feel heavy. You can't have that peace of mind. Something is out of you. So that kind of thing, God is Shiva. I am his child. Like father, like child. I have to follow the father. Be good to others, do good to others. Master almighty, master knowledgeful, master peaceful, master blissful, so on. This is what removes our selfishness. The very name which God has been given, or God has given to us about himself, that selfishness should be removed. How will selfishness be removed? By removing demand or desires for these things. How will the desires for all these things be removed? Then Baba says that you should be satisfied. But how can we be satisfied when actually we lack these things? How can we be satisfied? Man has become cheap. He has become devalued. See what is happening in the poor countries. The dog and the man are fighting for the leftovers of the food. When we go to aeroplanes, they serve food to everybody. A little bit is taken, the rest is put in the waste box, And whereas the other people don't have get the 2 ends meals, In the morning they have something to eat, in the evening they don't know. Tomorrow what will happen, they don't know. Or even the dried crumbs of food, they are running after things, begging for things. Why? Selfishness, exploitation, no compassion, no love, not being good to others. This selfishness is the opposite of socialization. We do not recognize that we are in a society. Why therefore Baba says this world is a family? Family forum. Recently we had that family retreat. That this is a family. Baba said this is not an institution, but a family institution. In the golden age, the world will be like a world family. Why we give this concept another part of knowledge? We are trying to integrate all these things. Because when you consider this world as a family, you are concerned with your brothers and sisters. What is their plight? What are you supposed to do towards them? When they are not having things, whereas you are wasting things. When they are people who don't have even the money to purchase the medicines, the drug, the life-saving drugs. And whereas we are using money on our addictions. We just smoke away cigars. Waste money. Whereas other people don't have the necessity, basic necessities. Even the potable water they don't have. The clean water. You see, it's a pity. So, God is Shiva. He says, I love the poor. The poor. I am Gharib Nivaz, My heart goes out for the poor. My poor children. Actually, everyone is poor. As compared to golden age, no one is rich. Because this money is useless, we don't have all those things fulfilled. But poorest of the poor, can you just consider, can you just imagine their plight? A child is seeing that the mother is dying because he cannot pay the doctor's fee, because he has no money to go to a chemist and purchase the medicine the doctor has prescribed in a government hospital. The doctor prescribes a particular kind of food which the child cannot offer to the mother. You see. Can you just imagine what will be the feelings? Will he not commit crime? He will say, this is a criminal society, let me go. Borrow, beg or steal. My mother is dying. That is how people commit crimes. Because the society converts even good people into criminals. If you just go to a jail and listen to the stories of many criminals are under trials, they will tell you that once upon a time they were good citizens. But it is the society which has compelled them to do all this. And Baba says, now we have to have the real civilization. From criminal civilization to the real civilization. From a society which is lawless, where there is lawless law. Even the law is lawless, you see. We have the mother-in-law, the father-in-law, the sister-in-law, the brother-in-law, but we have no law, you see. We don't have any law in the real term of the word. But this is the mother-in-law, that is the father-in-law, this is the brother-in-law, that is the sister-in-law. But gentlemen, where is the law? You see. No one is working according to law. In our country, nowadays, so many ministers are in jails because they were corrupt, they took so much money. You see, they were ministers holding portfolios. And if you go to them, they would say, we do public service, social service. This is what the label they had. But actually, they were doing service to themselves, not to the public. They were writing that they are public servants. But actually, they were fulfilling their own need and greed. Exploiting others. Trying to make money, having power, having position. Anybody cannot be a yogi, mind you. You can never be a yogi, never be a yogi, never be a yogi. If you want power, position, prestige, money, all these things. You tell me a person who is after these and he is a yogi. I have yet to discover such a person. These are two opposite things, cannot coexist, you see. So, make a choice, final choice in your life. You want to be a yogi or a bhogi? A bhogi means who wants all these things. A yogi means one who does not want all these things. You can't be a bhogi as well as a yogi or a yogi as well as a bhogi, you see. Make your choice. These are diametrically opposed to each other. Therefore, Baba says, when you link your mind to me, children, when you link your mind to me, very often we tell people that yoga or meditation gives relaxation of mind. It removes our tension, stress from our mind. And that is very useful for our health and so on. But actually, the most wonderful benefits of meditation and yoga are not touched upon. They are not explained to the people. And as I said, when we practice that meditation, we have all these power, position and everything. There is nothing which is not attained by means of meditation. Therefore, Baba said, yog bal, power of yoga, yog bal. There are so many powers, but Baba says yoga is a power. In some murlis, he has explained yoga in various ways, and in one murli, not one but many, he says yog bal. One is bahu bal, you are the power of your arms, bahu bal, muscle power, muscle power. Then the power of weapons, the money power, so on. There are many kinds of power. But yoga bal, the power of meditation or yoga is the topmost. The most potent power. The mightiest thing. Because without waging any war, without firing any bullet, you attain the world sovereignty. Where you have rule over. There has been no ruler in the written history, in the records of the recorded history, because the king, the emperor, the sovereign the head of the state, does not have his rule, his governorship or his reign as Sri Narayan has, as the first or the second or the eight sovereigns of deity sovereigns of golden and silver age have. There is rule over the land. This is one kind of rulership. You rule over a particular territory, geographical territory, the boundaries of the state. Up to here, here, and here, you have your rulership. Every country has a geographical territory, of which the atlas shows the map of the country. After that begins another country, and if you have to go to that country, you have to obtain a visa. You can't go there. There are certain separate laws, another government, and this land, different government. But by means of yoga power, you attain rulership over all the land, all over the globe. This is called Chakravarti Raja, the king who rules all the globe. This is the power of yoga. Then even those who have rule over a particular geographical territory, named a country, they don't have their sovereignty over all the seas, the seven seas. They don't have over all the seven continents. They don't have the rule over all the seas. A ship of a country can enter the waters of the other country by their permission. It can go up to a certain limit. Up beyond that it can't go. Otherwise it will be given a warning, and if it still continues to go, it will be shot, it will be sunk, you know. So they have rule over particular territory on the seas. No king has ever ruled over all the seas. Then similarly air. If Pakistan Airlines sends a military flight to the Indian territory, Indian skies, and it is warned, you have entered, encroached upon our space, please go back. 1, 2, 3, you don't go back, okay, shh, shot, you know. Next day there will be the news, a Pakistani intruder aeroplane was shot by the Indian Air Force, because it did not mind the warning it was given, so on and so forth. So you can't enter the air territory of another country. No king ever has had his sovereignty over all the air, all the skies. Then over all the flora and fauna. Then over all the living beings, whosoever. The king of the forest is the lion. You see. If you enter the forest, and even if you are the king, the lion does not know that you are a king. It will eat you. You see. It will pounce upon you, and because the lion sees your flesh, how much flesh you have, you see, and whether it will fulfill his need. If it's so, and if it is feeling hungry, then you are the food come to itself, good, well enough, that's all. King or no king, you see. But in golden age and silver age, even the lion does not hurt you. Your friend, you know. So you have kingdom over all the flora and fauna. All the animals, the beasts, domesticated or the forest beasts, so on. This is attainable through yoga power. So yoga is the greatest power through which all your requirements for all the time will be fulfilled. You see. Therefore, when you say, when I attain Baba, in the sense when your mind is with Baba, what do you mean by Baba Paliya? Baba mil gaya. Baba mil gaya means your soul is linked to Baba. To sab kuch pa liya. It is then only that you attain everything. Because that yoga power will enable you to get everything. Full inheritance from God, your Father. That is the way. Because then there will be so much light and might that you will feel that you are withdrawn from the body. Totally withdrawn from the body. That you are just a point of light. But that is the stage which we have to experience again and again and again. When our feeling of body consciousness is almost eliminated from our mind. Not that somebody gives me the commentary, running commentary. I am a soul, a point of light. And so the person tells me I should think according to what she is saying, you see. So I at that point of think, I am a soul. I say to myself. But consider the situation, the condition when I am really a soul. I am not even listening to this, but I am totally absorbed in this kind of a thought, in this kind of an experience, that I am a being of light. That kind of experience should be there, not just to the level of thought. And only Shiv Baba, no other intruder, no other thought enters into my mind. No other embodied person comes into my thoughts. Me and only He, that's all. No one else. That kind of experience when I have, then I can say, Baba Paliya, to sab kuch Paliya. By attaining Him, I have attained everything. You see. So, therefore is the necessity of knowing my real identity, namely that I am a soul. Because unless and until I know my real identity, and I know that I am Master Almighty, I don't require any other position. This is the greatest position. Being the son, being the child of one who is the mightiest, the greatest, the holiest, the most perfect. I am His child. What position can be better than this? What honor can be better than this? What attainment can be better than this? You see. So I will be able to attain everything. So this in brief, I have spent up my time which was allotted to me for this class. I came a few minutes late. Therefore, I spent some little more time. I was asked to be here only up to 12. But I came about 10 minutes late. So, just spend a little more time with you. This to me is the unified kind of a thought. The soul, the supreme soul, the certificates, namely satisfaction, Maya, its dynamics, how it enters, how we should get rid of it, and the yoga, what kind of power it is, and values, how they should come immediately. So, you can develop this further on your own. Thank you. Om Shanti.